Good morning, everybody. This is Eric Robbins, a television production and English teacher at Butler Senior High School. And, okay, if the voice sounds a little familiar, it's because I used to work here at the radio station. Back in the early 2000s, I was on The Breakfast Club with Bob Cupp and The Superstore and a bunch of other stuff. I've been teaching at Butler Senior High School now for over 14 years. And I am in charge of a bunch of different things. For example, television production classes include TV 1, TV 2, the BTTV Morning Announcements show, and a class called Advanced TV, which is what we'll focus on today. Those TV classes cover a range of topics, including shot composition, camera lenses, TV news, commercials, and film studies, which again is the Advanced TV class that we'll kind of focus on today. I also teach a radio class. Students produce various audio projects, including commercials and news packages. They run a radio show for the cafeteria each week from the Tyler Friel Radio Studio at Butler Senior High School. Journalism class at Butler Senior High School is also another one of mine. We run a high school newspaper called The Skyliner, and you can always check out butlerskyliner.com for student work. I also teach a 12th grade British literature class now, and we're reading Frankenstein right now. Turns out the novel has nothing to do with the Edgar Winter group, which I found that out a bit late in the game. Okay, so today's radio lesson deals with my advanced TV class. We talk movies, we analyze movies, and then they make a movie as their final project. We're going to focus today, I figured it was appropriate being on the radio, we're going to focus on movie sound. Sound is kind of the phoniest part of any movie, meaning that it's often very manufactured. Think of characters talking on a boat as it zooms across the water. Now, realistically speaking, we wouldn't really be able to hear what they're saying very well, but in the movie, we sure can, because they add that in later. There's an old saying that says one half of all video is audio, so it's very important and worth studying. We're going to look at movie sound in three different ways. We're going to look at kind of the people behind the scenes, the sound engineers and the sound mixers. We're going to look at something called Foley sound, and one of the most famous sound effects or movie screams in history. So let's get started. Sound engineers and sound mixers are kind of a different breed of people. These are the folks that go on family vacations and bring a little sound recorder along just to record different sounds in different places, whether it's the birds native to a particular area or the way that the waves crash in Maine versus on the Pacific coast, or they're constantly collecting these sounds. There's a sound engineer kind of famous now named Ben Burtt, and he was a sound engineer and designer for Star Wars Episode 4. So we're going to take a look at the work that he did to create some of the most iconic movie sounds in history. So again, Star Wars Episode 4, called A New Hope, or back then just Star Wars, came out in 1977, changed everything, and was kind of a space western, low budget. A lot of folks didn't give it much of a chance, but the sounds in that franchise are iconic, and they continue to live on. I'm going to talk about the sounds, going to play the sounds for you, and then ask that you take a second, try to think about what those sounds are made up of. Okay, so that was obviously the sound of those TIE fighters, the ones that the rebels are fighting constantly in those space battles, you know. The sounds behind the TIE fighters were inspired by World War II era dive bomber planes that actually were outfitted with special air ducts designed with the sole purpose to terrify people. The wind would whistle through there and it would sound, you know, danger's coming. So to create the sound of the TIE fighters, Burt had that in mind and wanted them to kind of sound scary, even if you couldn't see them. So how do you create a sound like that without actually having a plane flying overhead? Well, surprisingly, Ben Burtt, sound engineer, used elephant noise mixed with cars driving on wet pavement. So you take those two sounds, you combine them together, and somehow it ends up like that. Next sound. Chewbacca. My favorite character from the Star Wars original trilogy when I was a kid. Love Chewie. Has that kind of guttural animal noise that he makes, and everybody understands him but us. And he, of course, launched a million bad impressions. So Bert was given simple instructions to create the sound of Chewbacca. He was told it can't be a human language, and, maybe a bear sound effect would work. Okay, well, that's not good enough. He wanted it to be a little deeper, so he took bear, walrus, dog, and some lion noises to create the Wookiee's signature language. Well, perhaps one of the biggest, most iconic sound effects from the entire Star Wars universe is the sound of Darth Vader breathing. So what do you think? What makes up that sound? Now, originally, the plan for Darth Vader was for him to be much noisier and, overly mechanical. That was too much and kind of distracting, so Bert decided to lean towards more of a focus on breathing. Of course, James Earl Jones was the voice, but we always just hear Darth breathing. So how did he get that sound? Well, actually not that complicated. He put a microphone inside a scuba tank regulator, and there you have it. Kind of makes sense. It sounds like breathing. The Star Wars blaster is a sound effect that we hear throughout all of the movies, the chosen weapon of Han Solo and all of those inept, easily wounded stormtroopers everywhere. Well, the idea for this sound effect actually came from a trip to Pennsylvania. Bert was on a trip at the Poconos, and he and his dad were kind of climbing up a little hillside or whatever, and of course, Bert had his sound recorder with him, and he did something maybe you shouldn't do, but he threw a rock at the support cables for a radio tower, and it made a kind of a cool sound, and he said to his dad, hey, that's what a space gun should sound like. So, that's what he did. In addition to Darth Vader, probably the most famous sound to come out of the Star Wars universe is that of the lightsaber. And Bert used sounds that maybe a sound engineer normally wouldn't want or would try to avoid in this case. So think about the lightsaber sound and think about what that could be. Well, it's a combination of a couple different things, actually. He recorded the motor on a film projector. And then also he recorded the buzz from an old TV picture tube, which younger listeners might not really understand what that is, but old TVs were big and bulky, and there were kind of hums and buzzes and things that came out of these old TVs, especially ones that were kind of on the fritz. So he took those sounds, combined them together, and then ran that through speakers, recorded it again with a microphone, and moved the microphone all around so that the sound was a little bit different, and that created the sound of a lightsaber moving. I'm sure it was a little rough at first, but it ended up working. One more note from the Star Wars universe, the sound of R2-D2. Well, sometimes as R2's talking or making his little noises, you get the sense that you're close to understanding what he's saying. Everybody else in the movie, of course, understands him perfectly. We just don't. So, actually, what happened here was a mix of two different things. The sound engineer, Bert, the guy we've been talking about, it's his voice doing baby talk, like you'd talk to an infant, mixed with electronic sounds from a synthesizer, and he played with those enough and then created R2-D2. Okay, so that's fun, but now we move into something else. So we have sound engineers and sound mixers that sync up these sounds and create these sounds based on combinations of other things. And long ago, we had, almost 100 years ago, we had problems with sound engineers and sound mixers trying to sync things up. It was hard to get the sound effects that I have here recorded to match up with what's happening on the screen. So a guy named Jack Foley was working on a film version of Broadway's musical Showboat. And he was facing this problem, so he invented the process of playing the movie while sound artists created the sound in real time to the video, saving lots of time and a ton of aggravation. So there are these people in the film industry called Foley artists. So imagine a sound booth with people walking in place on a box of gravel to create sounds for characters walking. They can do the steps as the characters walking in the movie, and it syncs up perfectly. Imagine, you know, for a pterodactyl, somebody flapping giant wings, fake wings of cloth or something else for Jurassic World or Jurassic Park. In advanced TV class, we have an assignment where students are given a movie clip from, it doesn't matter if they've seen the movie or not, it's quiet, no sound, and they are to create the sound effects and everything that they would normally hear in that movie clip themselves and match it up and sync it up, and it's really quite fun. It's one of the cool assignments that we have in the class, and it's a neat one to kind of witness because you see students walking around smacking things and dropping things and breaking things and using those sounds, and when they finally get it synced up and have it work, you can see the happiness, and it's really a neat thing. So that's what's called Foley sound. So watch a movie and sit through the whole credits, not to see what Avengers movie's coming next, but all of the people that work in film, and you're going to see a lot of people in the sound department, Foley artists and Foley mixers and sound engineers. We'll end on a movie note or a movie scream. And in film, we have something called a Wilhelm scream, which is awesome. And it's probably the most famous movie scream, even more famous than Janet Leigh's shower scene scream in Psycho. Instead, it's not Janet Leigh. It comes from a cowboy's scream in a 1951 movie called Distant Drums. Well, unfortunately, there was a cowboy who was wading through some water, and he was attacked by an alligator. And he gave a scream that would be reused countless times in movie history. The name actually, though, came from another movie and character. A couple years later, it was another cowboy, though. So there's a movie in 1953 called The Charge at Feather River, and a character named Wilhelm was just kind of innocently sitting on his horse, and then he was, well, he caught an arrow in the leg, and then he let out that scream that we had heard a couple years earlier, and that scream became the Wilhelm scream, and you have heard this scream before, I promise you. It has been used in many, many other movies. For example, Star Wars Episode 4, back to Star Wars again, a stormtrooper. In Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, 2002, an elf falls off the wall during the battle at Helm's Deep. For the younger listeners out there, Toy Story, yeah, way back to 1995, if you can believe that. Buzz Lightyear is the one who lets out the Wilhelm scream. Many, many other examples, including 1981's Raiders of the Lost Ark, an enemy soldier, you know, having an accident, if you will, during a big fight scene, a chase scene, lets out the Wilhelm scream. So as you're watching movies, if you hear a scream that kind of sounds cheesy and really low quality and almost really fake and maybe shouldn't be in there, that is the Wilhelm scream. And it is kind of filmmakers paying tribute to films of yesteryear, or at least just, hey, this is one of those cool things they can work in there and see if we notice it, or again, to pay tribute to something from years ago. To recap, movie sound. It's undeniably important, and it's difficult to imagine our favorite movies without certain sounds attached, even if it's a simple, low-quality scream that's been used dozens and dozens of times, or the combination of a walrus, a dog, and a lion to create the vocalization for an alien creature called a Wookiee. As you watch movies, again, pay attention to everything you see, why the characters are moving where they're moving, why the director put this in the scene, and the sounds. Close your eyes for a second and think about what you're hearing and how it was all put together. We'll close today with the Butler Senior High School Storm quote of the day. Fate whispers to the warrior, "You cannot withstand the storm." And the warrior whispers back, "I am the storm." Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Eric Robbins again of Butler Senior High School with your 680 AM WISR Butler School District Radio lesson.